Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Dano, and with me back again, we have Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes. Hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. Good to be back. Sorry about last week, everyone, but a huge shout out to Damo from the Footy Mailbag and Peter from Nerds for Life for filling in last week. It was really, really appreciated. And also a huge shout out to everyone that reached out by DM and tweeted and everything like that. It really meant a lot. And the show had to go on. So I appreciate you filling in. It was a great episode, by the way. I did manage to find time to listen in, and apparently it didn't work because my team is fucking shit. But anyway.
Anyway, we'll try and get through this because right now I'm having so many technical difficulties and like power going out and whatnot. So fingers crossed this works, everyone. So group winner was Tate, long-time listener with the replacements. Who do you have, Paddo, and what did he score?
Yeah, so for the third time, his overall rank is 147. Long-time listener, so, you know, it's great to see Tate doing well. Stacked defence, he's got five primos in there. Luke Ryan, Elliot Yeo, Dan Houston, Nick Dacos, Nick Martin. To cap it off with Zach Williams, who is not a horrible D6 for this stage of the year. Took Tom Green and Jordan Dawson did great for him in his midfield, even though he had the underperformers in Jack Steele and Zach Butters. Maxi Gawn as a VC is a nice way to start the round because he demolished my Tigers. And Nat Fyfe up forward, Dano, I'm sure you'll love to see that. But Isaac Heaney, Sam Flanders, Luke Jackson, who is a bit of an underperformer since Sean Dicey came back into the team. But great team, Tate. We're really rooting for you, mate, and we hope that you continue up the ranks.
Yeah. Now we'll go on to injuries and suspensions. So the dynamic duo of Jack Steele and Rowan Marshall, both not on the injury list, but both also didn't train, Paddo. So big red flag going into this round.
Yes, big red flag. Had a light session during the week. They play North Melbourne as well. So just watch out for the late outs. Check your phone at 3:40 on Saturday, even if you are at a wedding or anything like that. Set an alarm. You don't want to miss Jack Steele or Rowan Marshall being a late out if either of them are in your team. Yeah, hopefully neither of them get subbed out early as well if they're up by sort of 60 points at three-quarter time. But
yeah,
just hope they're healthy enough to do okay enough this week. I cannot afford to get rid of Jack Steele this week.
Yeah. Moving on to Josh Draper, Hammy, but he's listed as a test, Paddo.
Yeah. Hopefully that doesn't cause any donuts for anyone, but people should be swimming in defense rookies still anyway.
Yeah. And Tom Stewart, concussion protocols to be advised. I'd say he'd play this week, Paddo.
Well, yeah, he's passed his 10 days mandatory or 12 or whatever it is, but he's still listed as a test. So he will have to go through, obviously, a last-minute test at the end of this week to find out whether he can play. They're playing Melbourne. I feel like he probably gets up for the game.
Yeah, as I lean back in my chair and swivel my microphone more towards me. So we've also got Ivan Soldo with his knee 4 to 5 weeks. All Paddo has listed there is just sweet with an exclamation mark.
Yeah, it is very sweet. Gives us a nice downgrade option, sideways option. I think we've got a couple of questions on that, so we'll leave that discussion for our questions.
Yep. And then the last one's Tom Liberatore, aka Liver. He missed last week with a nostril injury, so he's listed as a test. Shady as fuck, Paddo.
Yeah, I don't feel like he was unwell. I just feel like he might have got some negative results out of the laboratory.
Yep. Libba's laboratory. Anyway, rookie trade-ins. We already spoke about him. Jordan Sweet, 158K ruck, 100 minus 113 break-even, 102 average. He got a massive 136. It is fully sick, though. Sol ruck. He's got to be one of the biggest must-haves this week, and we'll even discuss about potential fucking things with, I don't know, like your Brody Grundys and whatnot, because everyone seems to be wanting to make that play this week, Paddo.
Yeah, I think we have questions about it, so we'll save it for that. But I personally probably wouldn't do that. But I think it's a no-brainer to get into your team. You're unlucky if you've got Naismith sitting as your R3, because that makes it a little bit awkward. But if you have a non-playing forward ruck swing like Livingston, like I do, it's perfect because you can just downgrade a forward and move Livingston forward, and Jordan Sweet can sit as your R3. You can even see what he does. They play Thursday night. And, and if he scores well enough, maybe you can look at trading Grundy out. And anyway, we can talk about that.
Yep, yep. Riley Garcia, 125K forward, minus 74 break even. He's averaging 73. Yeah. But yeah, I'm glad that you listed this here, Paddo, because I was going to mention it anyway. He was going to be the sub before Libba failed. I'm sorry.
Failed his drug test.
I didn't read the rest of that sentence, and I was about to say that. Fucking Paddo putting the jokes in this run sheet, I tell you what. Yeah. So he was going to be the sub, and then he wasn't. So, yeah, fucking hell. Oh, shit. But I don't think he's a must-have, especially when we have guys like Darcy Jones, who I think will be along a similar line as Riley Garcia, but I think he's going to have better job security myself.
Yeah, it's easy to see a negative 74 break even and think he's close to must have, but I agree, he's not. He's not. He was going to be the sub. He may not even last in the team once Libba's recovered from his nostril injury. So we just have to wait and see.
Yep. One of the big must haves, though, for me is Jake Rogers as well. 148K mid, minus 41 break even, 63 average. He got that 98 last round. Rising star nomination. He's getting a game, or games, I should say, when the Suns are fit and firing. So he was a highly rated junior academy selection. I think it's Jake Rogers' time.
Yeah, it's hard to call him a must-have for me, only because we have Jordan Sweet. Worth noting as well, he was a sub against Sydney for 28, and he scored 98 against West Coast. Actually, no, he wasn't a sub. He played 93 minutes against Sydney and got 28. So I think there's a bit of a red flag there. And the 148 price tag, he's 10K less than Jordan Sweet. And Jordan Sweet, who has the sole ruck role locked in, I think he's much more of your must-have. Rogers, if you've got three trades, I can see a world where you can think two rookies in, one upgrade for your three trades, and then you can look at some of the guys that played one game, debuted this week, and there's a couple of guys coming through there. But, yeah, not a must-have for me, but it's getting games, and they've only got two injuries on their list, their whole list, Dano, so that's a pretty good sign that his job security is pretty good.
Yeah. Fucking shout-out to Dimmer for being the anti-Bevo and playing all of these fucking rookies and giving them a red hot crack, and they're actually going good. So well done, Dimmer. I know it would pain you to hear that, Paddo. Well done, Dimmer.
It hurts.
Yeah, it would be.
Because he also kind of left us in it. He also kind of left us in a shit spot going after not quite A grade midfielders in Jacob Hopper and Tim Taranto that kind of fucked up our rebuild. But anyway, we're not salty about that because he got us three premierships. So I cannot be mad about that.
Told ya. Anyway, moving on to Lekalier, 123K defender, minus 43 break even, 57 average. Now, he's just warming a spot for Sam Taylor. It's a no from me. I feel bad, but yeah, it's a no from me.
Yeah, I mean, he does look great. And he probably is a regular player in maybe 10 AFL teams, but not at the Giants. Learns, pretty good, you know. In defense.
If he learns how to spoil in different directions and not straight down the line, down the throat of Carlton fucking players who will then cherry pick every single spoil he does and kick a goal on him. Anyway, primo trade-ins, Paddo. I'm still salty about the Carlton game. Primo trade-ins. We'll start with defense, and we're going to start with a bit of a POD one here in 3% of teams. That's Bailey Dale, 457K, 93 average, minus 45 break-even. I don't think it's a week late, Paddo. I think people needed to get their data set right because Bevo, being Bevo, like to throw around the magnets and just see where they land. So he's gone 175 and 132. Is this role going to be his for the long term? And also, is it sustainable?
I'm not sure it's sustainable. And I am someone that did bring him in at the back end of last year, and it was okay for a little bit. He had back-to-back 139, 113 against the Giants and Richmond in round 20 and 21. I think I brought him in around like just before the bye period. So he had an 87 against Carlton. Then he went 141, 108, 116. And it was around that time I brought him in. And he was kind of like not great. He had a 50 against Sydney and 86 against Essendon. It's a couple of 80s against Hawthorn and West Coast. Like, it's just, I don't think he's good enough to be a proper D6. So that's why it's a hard one for me at the price and the break even. There's a world in which you can bring him in up until his bye, and he has the last bye round, I believe. I think he's got around 15 bye. So there's a world in which I can see that it'd be a good play to make the 100K that he's got left probably to make. And he's got, what, one, two, three. He's got 7 weeks to make whatever cash, score whatever, and you can make a decision even then. You can look at a Sicily off his bye. You can look at a Tom Stewart who's plummeting. Even a Robertson who, not a Robertson, a Sinclair, who has a really good run home in a lot of games at Marvel Stadium to finish out the year. So you can sort of reassess after the buys if you want. He's also got some kind of juicy matchups coming up. So he's got Hawthorn this week, Richmond next week, Giants the week after, who do concede pretty high scores to halfbacks, and Collingwood in there as well, who are the same. So yeah, it's a hard one. It is a really hard one. It depends on whether you see him as a keeper or not, really.
I think bringing anyone in the 400,000 range, especially mid, you're kind of seeing him as a keeper, if not a stepping stone after the buys.
Yeah, but we'll move on. He was a sub 3 weeks ago, Dano, and the week before that he had 47 in a whole game.
Bevo.
Yeah, you can't trust the guy.
Anyway, we'll move on to the next bloke because this guy's the one that just suits everyone. And that's Dan Houston at 610K, 115 average, 16% owned, 101 break even. We have seen him cheaper, by the way. We have. But it's just his buy that is so juicy. He's in the Port Adelaide Fremantle buy, the only two teams to have that buy. And he will cover you for all of the other buys, especially the horrid, I think it's round 14 or round 15 buy. So Dan Houston, if you can get him, Paddo.
Yeah, so I'd love to target Dan Houston. It's funny because he was always someone that we talked about being a yo-yo, really up and down scoring, but has not dropped below 105 all year. So he's almost the epitome of consistency this year. Not really getting a lot of attention either. And even when he does, he's still getting 20 touches. And with his efficiency and the way he moves the footy, it's a really, really high score always. He's only in 16% of teams, which is kind of crazy. I've got a huge dilemma this week, Dano, because I don't have Nick Dacos, and I'm probably going to bring in Dacos over Houston.
I think, yeah, that's a tough one.
I don't want to keep anti-potting Nick Dacos.
Okay, well, we'll talk about Nick Dacos then. He's 592K, 114 average, 74% owned. So you're in the 26% that don't have him, and 78 break even. So, yeah, he is the anti-pod. Well, you are antipodding, I should say. I feel like you need to go with the masses here.
Yeah, I feel like of the 26% of teams that don't have Nick Dacos, I'm the only one that's still actively playing Supercoach. That's what it feels like. So I feel like I've just got to bring him in.
Yeah. You got to have him. We'll jump over then because that was probably the shortest one we're going to talk about. Little bit of a POD in 2% of teams. Some of the boys in this other Supercoach chat that I've got, which includes our man King Supercoach, have actually been talking about this bloke, and that's Andrew McGrath, 517K, 107 average, and 54 break-even. So I don't think Martin actually affects him, and mind you, Martin was thrown only up forward in the last quarter to try and break open the game, and he was fucking magnificent. I still think Andy McGrath is viable even with Martin playing in defence. What are your thoughts?
So I'm looking at his scores, and while he doesn't quite have the high range that your Luke Ryans have, he's had one score below 95, and that is a 69 against Port Adelaide, which is definitely nothing to frown upon, because they are, their half forwards are very restrictive by nature. Three of his next four games are actually really juicy, and then he's even got the Giants, who do not really restrict on half backs as well. So his next four, his next five, because he's got Gold Coast after that as well. So his next five are West Coast, GWS, North, Melbourne, Richmond, and Gold Coast, which is just about as juicy run as you can get for a half back or a midfielder. So yeah, we just want it. We want people to keep this name sort of in their minds. 2% of teams as well, so there's a huge POD. My ears are perked up, but I'm not sure I can go McGrath before I get Dacos.
Yeah, agreed. I'll move on to midfield. Another thing, again, Fremantle, Port Adelaide players, just that buy. Leads us into Caleb Sarong, 621K, 128 average, 27% owned, 98 break even. He has Richmond this week. Need we say more?
Well, hopefully the Pickett tagging role change isn't a permanent one, but he did a great job on Petrarca, which we'll be thanking Pickett for very soon in Supercoach, because I think his break-even is about 190.
Yeah.
So Petrarca will be nice and juicy price very, very soon. So hopefully Pickett doesn't go to Sarong, but Sarong has been tagged before this year, and all they do is they put him on a wing and he still gets a heap of the footy. So yeah, I wouldn't usually recommend someone at this price, but he's not going to be cheaper. And he's gone another level again this year, and he just looks so hungry for the ball. He's got these spike scores that he could do. He had 107 against Brisbane in round one, for fuck's sake. So, yeah, I think he's a really good trading option this week.
Yeah. We'll move on to big boy Tom Green, 579K, 120 average, 48% owned, 91 break even. This is, I think, going to be the cheapest that you'll see him. I reckon he's going to go beast mode against Sydney too. Yeah.
See, I actually disagree with you there. I feel like his next 2 weeks could actually be tricky, because he's got Sydney, so he might have some attention there. And then Essendon, and I think Durham probably goes to him in that game to tag him. And then he's got two games against the Dogs and Geelong. I think I'm going to try and pick Tom Green up off his bye.
Yep, fair enough. That's all good.
I wouldn't argue against someone bringing him in this week.
Yeah. What about Rory Laird at 562K, Pato, 111 average, 5% owned, and 99 break even. I started Rory Laird, so this is a really frustrating own. Even though he's averaging 111, but it's more so just Knicks confusing the fuck out of me. Hopefully he continues this fucking insane form. But anyway,
his scoring hasn't been that bad, Dano.
Yeah, I know. He had the two sub 100 scores. That was it. And they just came back to back. Always give your players 3 weeks.
Do you know who else had two sub 100 scores in the very same rounds as him? And everyone's talking about him as a sure thing top eight mid.
Who's that?
Tom Green.
Oh, true that. True that. And Jack.
So honestly, like, Laird's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. 562K, you pick him up?
If I didn't have Nick Dacos, and I actually probably think I like some of these cheaper guys more than Rory Laird slightly, but that's not me shitting on Rory Laird as a trading option. I really, really like it. Jordan Dawson has also been named on a wing, and we're about to talk about him, but that is a bit of a red flag there as well, maybe an orange flag.
Well, 5% owned is Rory Laird. We'll go on to Jordan Dawson, who's 13% owned. At 558K, so that's only a 4K difference, 101 average and a 24 break even. I personally feel like Rory Laird's the better option, but if Jordan Dawson can get back to what we know he can do, his ceiling, I think, is much higher.
It is, but he's played so many different roles this year. He's played midfield where his form wasn't good. He's played forward. He played a lockdown forward role against, was that Carlton?
I don't know.
I can't remember, or Melbourne, one of the two. And he's played on a wing as well. And He's shown that he can be a great scorer on the wing. I remember his last year at Sydney and his first year at Adelaide was in a really elite wingman. But when the role's changing so much, for some reason they feel like trying to fit Crouch into a round hole, who's a square peg. And I feel like he's the one that'll make way. And like the midfield group isn't working, and Soligo is doing great. So I feel like it has to be Soligo, Dawson, and Laird. But hey, what do I know?
Now, this we'll talk about LDU. So Luke Davies Uniac, 518K, 97 average. He's got in 5% of teams and 84 break even. But I also want to put him up against Darcy Parrish, who is 493K, 84 average, 0.6% of teams and 74 break even. So on LDU, Powell, I don't know what the fuck happened with Powell for three quarters there. He wasn't playing in the guts, but when LDU was pretty much more inside, he went ridiculously good. And then you got Parrish, and we kept talking about Parrish each week about, Anzac Day is probably going to be the game where he fucking gets it, and he fucking did with a big 125, and he has West Coast this week. So both of them fallen primos, like top-tier primos in my mind, especially with the way you look at Darcy Parrish in the preseason. They were talking him up in Brownlow fucking contention until he did whatever, like I think he got injured or something. He also has North in 2 weeks, which means that LDU has Essendon in 2 weeks. So I feel like that you can strike at either one of them because they're both in POD territory, Pato, but which one do you strike at?
See, this is frustrating for me, and those that follow me on X will know this, but I traded in Clayton Oliver this week or last week for his game against Richmond for his 80-odd. And I spoke on the podcast 2 weeks ago about possibly bringing in Parrish before Anzac Day.
Yeah.
So this stings a little bit. I feel like these picks are all dependent on who you already have. If you already have all the top dogs, if you have Tom Green, Caleb Sarong, Matt Rowell, Zach Merritt, Butters, like those sorts, you can target one of those cheap guys. But if you already have Clayton Oliver, like me, if you already have Matt Crouch, Jason Horne-Francis, those sort of guys, even Connor Rosie, I don't think you should be targeting another one like this. So this is probably your M8 spot. What is a big risk with Darcy Parrish is that he has a lot of soft tissue injury the last few years. He's done calves, hamstrings, etc. So that is a bit of a red flag. But at his best, we know that he is brilliant. He's had 4 weeks to build up to Anzac Day where he got 125. As you said, Dano, he plays West Coast this week. Then he plays the Giants, which is an okay matchup. Then he plays North Melbourne and Richmond back-to-back. So it's very, very juicy. But I think people are sleeping on Luke Davies Uniac.
I find it funny that you mention Parrish's injuries but not Luke Davies Uniac.
Well, Davies Uniac only had last year as injuries.
Correct, but he's still got an injury history and it's very recent. Yeah, you fail to let people know that, Pato.
No, people know.
Don't be blinded. Don't be blinded by your bias towards LDU.
Anyway, let's talk about this next guy.
Let's talk about this next guy. Clayton Oliver, 466K, 83 average, 2% owned. Don't know how. I know one of them. And 120 break even. Now, I feel like that you can wait a week on this one for the big Clayton Oliver. Because even if he gets like 130 or 140, he's not going up much price, Pato.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, and I feel like he's building. He's getting over that thumb, just no nose beers.
That's probably his problem, to be honest.
Yep. So he does, and this is the thing, we like to make note of people's great records against teams. We also noted Clayton Oliver's great record against Adelaide, and he fucking tanked. But he has a great record against Geelong. So, and around 14 by. Yeah.
Well, he averaged 123 plus against his next two opponents. Then he plays West Coast.
Oh, yeah. I feel you can't keep a champ down.
No. And he could be 450K next week.
I reckon this is the week he'll crack his second ton for the year. And then we'll start seeing the best out of Clayton Oliver. I really feel like it's going to be next week.
Next week is probably the time to jump on him.
Yeah, I feel like next week will be the week. And you will see so many people scramble to get him. So many.
Wouldn't be really be a scramble of 450k.
Oh no, that you'll see anyway.
Yeah.
Most people are already completing their midfields.
Yeah, I feel like that's a bit premature.
Yeah. Anyway, forward line, the one that everyone's neglecting at the moment because there's just not much going on. And this fucker, I'm going to admit, I did put it on X because I was drunk as fuck. I traded out Nat Fyfe for Jack McRae. In fairness, McRae did score 75 across three quarters of the game. And in fairness, Nat Fyfe had his first fucking the highest disposal count he's had since 2019. So when it rains, it pours.
So, but, yeah, I had to scramble on Saturday night as well. Don't I had to use my last boost to trade out Libba because all three of my my midfield bench options were locked out.
Oh, shit.
So I sort of had the option. I afford to go to Rao, but I didn't want to spend 630K on Rao or whatever he was. So it was either McRae or Dale using some DPP magic, and I went with McRae begrudgingly.
Oh, and you missed out on the big Dale dog. Yeah, okay. Yep. Anyway, we'll move on to the forward line. Jeremy Cameron, 500K, 95 average, 7% owned, 101 break even. He's a yo-yo. He's an absolute yo-yo. So at least you know, if you're going into this at 500K, you know he's going to have some down games. I feel like his score is going to go down anyway. But slim pickings at the moment. Like with, let's say, your Dane Zorko's role changed in an instant. So he's not trustworthy anymore. Yeah, thoughts on Jeremy Cameron, Paddo?
Yeah, I mean, probably not the week to bring in Jeremy Cameron against Melbourne, who have one of the best defences in the league and averages 59 against them. But one to keep on your radar, I think, just with how bad the forward line is.
Paddo, you've put Harley Reid down at 393K, 90 average, 78% of teams have him. Isn't he like the most owned player in Supercoach?
Probably.
Yeah, and minus 30 break even. I don't know why we put him on here because he's most teams have him. We spoke about Jake Waterman last week because I just had to fucking talk about the motherfucker, and he came out with another 100-plus score, mind you, Paddo.
He's the seventh highest averaging forward, and that includes Elliot Himmelberg, who's played one game.
And I was actually going to trade in my drunken state Jake Waterman, and you know what I said to myself? Nah, don't do that. That's silly.
I mean, it would have been a better trade-in than fucking Jack McRae.
We'll see. I'm doing a long-term comparison of Fyfe, McRae, and Waterman from when I traded Fyfe to McRae.
Just going back to Harley Reid, Dano.
Yep, yep.
If you ignore that this guy's a rookie and you think that someone has had a role change into an inside midfielder, and in that role change he has scored 91, 108, and 147, you would be all over him. If this was a fourth-year player.
Oh, yeah.
If this was a Brent Daniels.
Yeah, yeah. And you,
if this is a Matt Kennedy,
you look at his time on ground percentage and see it's slowly going up.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I think if you ignore everything except that he's a kid, a 19-year-old playing AFL, I think you'd be all over this. So sure, the red flag of him getting arrested last week is obviously not great. I feel like he's got six games in a row now going into his bye. And then after that, he might miss one more game for the rest of the year, somewhere around sort of around 19 or 20. But with how good he's been the last three games he's played against Sydney, Richmond and Freo, and more in particular the Richmond and Freo games, he's not playing anywhere else but that midfield. And he will continue to put up big scores like this because he has such high impact on games. This kid's a fucking star. And it would not shock me if he is the F5 or F6 this year.
Yeah, fair.
Which is why he's a trading option.
Just before we go into Jack McRae, I'm going to say it here. It won't surprise me if Nat Fyfe gets rested shortly or has some form of soft tissue. But in saying that, we've been expecting the same of Elliot Yeo, and that hasn't happened yet either. So anyway, Jack McRae, 486K. That rhymes. 77 average, 7% owned, 76 break even. Still a good price. This is a bloke that we were talking about in preseason being F1 lock before all of the shit happened, Paddo. And I said this last week in the potty without you. I want to bring up something that I'm going to quote Supercoach Insider. So Supercoach Insider said this: McRae averaged 30 points per game more with Tom Liberatore in the team than without. And he also averaged 107.5 points per game, which was 9.3 points per game more without Richards playing. So bit interesting there. And McRae's role has been very similar the last couple of weeks. And he was often waiting as the outlet player from the stoppage, which, as we know, Libba likes to be that guy to feed out because he's so fucking good at it. So Libba should help McRae's scoring if his role stays the same, which I believe it will. Just wanted to give a little breakdown there. What are your thoughts on Jack McRae?
Yeah, look, it's Bevo. Like, it's so difficult. I think it's worth noting that for memory, no, I'm wrong. Never mind. for some reason, he started off slow and then worked into the year, but it was the other way around last year.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah, it's concerning, but I mean, slim pickings.
Yeah. We'll go on to question time. So we'll start on X, formerly known as Twitter. So Lloydie said, already tagged you in my trade ideas, but give us your thoughts. Grundy to Sweet, Williams to Dawson via DPP, and Powell to one of Tom Green, Darcy Parrish, or Sarong. Ruck line will be Sherry R1, Sweet R2, Naismith R3. Do you condone the Grundy trade, Paddo?
I'm not sure about Grundy to Sweet.
I think it unlocks his potential to get like a Caleb Sarong in. And to be honest, the Sarong and Sweet duo will help with his buy structure as well.
Yeah.
I'll move on to the next one, which is Scobie, because you were talking about that we get basically a prequel. So he said, what score would entice you to ditch Grundy Thursday night from Sweet, assuming you'd have Sweet at R3 and Grundy with whoever else at R1? So I think Lloydie can actually do that kind of vision. But it's a real short-term play for a good score. Hello.
Yeah, it is a great question. I think it's worth noting that Riley O'Brien is actually fairly negating as a ruck, except the top dogs. So you almost feel that if Sweet can get 120 on Thursday night, would that be enough to say, okay, maybe he will score pretty well and you can just trade Grundy instead? You can ride Sweet until the bye, and then if you're like me and don't have the best ruckman in the game, you can just go from Sweet to gone.
Could Sweet end up being like a Briggs of 2024?
He could, and that's the other thing that people aren't considering. Sweet could play so good in the next 4 to 5 weeks that he could become the number one ruck, and Soldo might not get into the team, or Soldo will be the forward that chops it out rather than Sweet being the forward that chops out.
These are those plays during the year that can make or break your season.
I think a 110 would really make me think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I'm kind of in the same sort of boat. And I've been like, it's weird because literally the round before, Grundy was the second highest averaging ruck. Like, it's crazy to think of now trading him out for Sweet. But if it frees up all this cash to get all these upgrades next week, like we're looking at a Tom Stewart next week. You know what I mean? We're looking at a Christian Petrarca next week. Potentially Clayton Oliver.
Like, yeah, we've got so many extra trades this year as well.
Like, I'm considering using my third boost. Oh, sorry, my fourth boost. I think
Brody Grundy has only 3 100 scores this year, and one of them came in a round that no one got it.
Yeah, I know.
Round zero.
Yeah, fun times.
Yep, something to think about.
Yeah, look, I definitely am. I'm definitely, definitely thinking about it. I'm just going to go to an inbox that I got. So this is from Sam. So he said, hey, guys, thoughts on Dawson? Hearing a lot about his role not being what we want, him being that fourth mid coming in off the half forward or wing. Can we trust that he can average that 110 plus to see him being a top 10 mid? With the uncertainty of primo forwards, we are prioritising the backline and mids before round 12 DPP and hopefully getting someone to help in the forwards. What are your thoughts on that? So, first of all, Dawson.
Yeah, we kind of spoke about Dawson before. I just want to mention Dawson's first year for Adelaide was on a wing in 2022, and he averaged 109.5.
Okay.
So it's not like that's horrible, but I also think that there's such good value this year at the moment. And if you look at a Petrarca, you look at a Parrish, who are either cheaper right now or going to be cheaper, I think you could probably sit it out. Honestly, as long as Crouch is still on that team, I think Dawson's a no-go.
With the other statement about uncertainty of primo forwards, are we prioritizing backline and mids before round 12 DPP?
Yes. Yeah, because there's no one that screams value right now in your forward line. So as long as you've got the two big dogs in Heaney and Flanders, I think you're okay. The flip side of that is the forward rookies are not great. Darcy's doing fine. Combin's doing fine. Luke Jackson's starting to shit the bed. Buku Kamis is probably close to being finished with. Garcia's a bit up and down. Wilson's a bit up and down even. Nat Fyfe is fine, but yeah, it's tough. I say that, Dano, and I've got five primo forwards and six if you include Nat Fyfe. So yeah, I've clearly made the wrong decision there.
Just trying to get on to the Facebook, the Face Space, the My Book. Let's have a squeeze. So, gotta love live podcasting. Here we go. So we got a few on Facey. So, is this Louis or Lois? There's no picture.
Either or, Mr. Grig,
Lewis.
person Grig,
Yeah,
Griggy.
person Greek, because we don't know if you're a male, female, or other. What can you see Sweet averaging between now and when Soldo is back, and what price do you think he'll be at that point? We just discussed if Sweet goes on a tear. I honestly don't think that they will play Soldo with him, or they'll play Soldo up forward.
Yeah, so I can see Sweet playing until the bye. As like without Soldo, so that's 5 weeks. Adelaide, Geelong, Hawthorn, North Carlton. It's actually a pretty decent ruck run as well, I must say. I can see him being close to 500K.
Fuck. Yeah, right. So what do you reckon he'll average? Like a
That would be him
105?
averaging probably 95 to 100 odd.
Yeah, okay.
I can see him averaging 100.
Yep, there.
I just want to look up something quickly, but I have a feeling that Jordan Sweet actually had a really good scoring record for the Bulldogs when What's His Face didn't play.
Yeah, okay. How long is that gonna
Let me
take you?
just look it up. So 2022, he averaged 71 in six games. Hard to know though which of those games he played with English and which of those he didn't.
I
But
can tell you. So I will get up Tim English.
so round 18, 2022. Looks like was with English because Sweet only had nine hitouts for 37.
Hang on, let me tell you. Let me tell you. So what round did you say?
Round 18, 2022.
He did play with English.
English. Yep.
English scored a nice 51.
Yeah, so Sweet had 37 in round 16. And it's funny because Footy Wire has the opponent being the Bears, which I don't think is accurate. But Sweet had 26 hitouts for 108 Supercoach.
So English did not play.
Yep. Round 15.
He did not play.
So he had 32 hitouts and a 74.
Yep.
Round 11, and I'm going to guess English did not play.
He did.
Sorry,
He got a hundred.
did play.
Yeah, he got 160 English against the
Yep.
Eagles.
So Sweet had 33.
Yep.
I'm going to guess in round 9 and 10, potentially the English did not play. Because,
Correct.
yeah, so Sweet had 98 and 76, and that was in his second year of footy.
Yeah, okay. So we're seeing a very good pattern of when Sweet is solo rucking, he kills that
Yeah,
shit.
and I'll say that he dominated the VFL as well.
Yeah, okay. So let's just hope that Soldo never comes back. It sounds harsh, but
Well, let's not go that far.
let's just hope that Soldo just plays as a key forward. We'll move on anyway. We'll go to Liam's question. So he said, "Hey gents, firstly, hope Paddo is doing well. Bloody tough times.
Thanks, Liam.
Regarding my trades this week, I'm thinking of trading out Karmas and Amon for Sweet and Dawson. Just want your thoughts on Dawson. Also want your opinion on trading out Grundy for Sweet. I've seen heaps of people do it. Doesn't make sense to trade out a primo. I'm bringing Sweet in just to sit bench and make cash. Cheers.
I agree with the Grundy for Sweet thing. I don't think that's a good idea, even though I've just said he can average 100.
Yeah. There's nothing worse. I'm just saying there's nothing worse than seeing a guy scoring 100 plus every week on your bench and you can't bring him on.
I know. It hurts.
Yeah.
It was Briggs last year.
Oh, not for me. He was R2.
I like Thomas and Amon being the two trade outs. Sweet is a no brainer. I just don't know about Dawson, and we talked about that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll move on. Scott said, if you had Grundy and Naismith, which one to trade for Sweet?
See, this is difficult.
I feel like, you know, if you had Naismith and he's getting the cash, like I'm starting to lean towards the Grundy trade out.
So it might depend on whether Naismith is named or not, but Naismith has a negative 66 break even.
Oh, I feel I'm actually, you're against the Grundy trade. I'm going for the Grundy trade. I say do it.
So for me, it depends on who your R3 is. If your R3 is Naismith, I could see Grundy down to Sweet being viable.
Well, it is in this case, so.
But I think if you've got a Livingston, I think, yeah, you swing him forward for now and then worry about it. Like, if power wasn't such a huge issue and a must trade out, considering that role, I'd be probably more okay with Grundy going out. But I can't see a world where you can go Grundy and Powell out while only bringing in one primo.
Tate, good old Tate, said, if I have Gorn and Grundy, will Sweet make enough money to be worth the two trades of Livingston to Sweet back to Livingston?
Whoa. Why would you trade out Livingston for Sweet when Livingston is a DPP and you can trade out a forward, swinging Livingston into your forward line and having Sweet in for, I don't know, a Buku Kamis or a Wilson or even Sam Darcy? Like, don't go Wilson, his break even is zero, but you know, Buku Kamis, that sort of title. Like, surely there's a forward rookie there that you can trade out to Sweet while keeping Livingston on your forward bench.
Now, I'm just going to send you something because Tate has sent through three trades. So I'm just going to forward them to you now. It's done a nice little graphic here because it's going to shape his season, he reckons. So he needs our help. So two of them he's using a boost, one he's not. So the first trade, he's looking at Williams, Sexton, and Draper out for Dale Garcia being Riley Garcia and Jackie Rogers in. Option two is Zach Williams and Massimo D'Ambrosio out for Jake Rogers and Darcy Parrish to come in. Or the third one is, he'll have 84K in the bank. Or the third one is Williams, D'Ambrosio, and Luke Jackson out and bringing in Bailey Dale, Darcy Parrish, Jake Rogers, and he'll have 126K in the bank to play with the following week. But he used.
So does he already have Sweet?
I think he must have gone early on Sweet.
I think the second one. I think Williams and D'Ambrosio out, Rogers and Parrish in.
The way he asked his question, though, it sounds like he doesn't have Sweet. I'd be prioritizing getting Sweet
100%.
If you don't have him. Yeah.
So you could go, I mean, you could still probably go D'Ambrosio to Sweet using DPP.
Yeah.
I think Williams has more money to make, and I think he's fine on field.
You reckon he's got more money?
Yeah.
His break even's quite high again.
Only 80.
Again, his break even's quite high again.
Yeah, but the 33 comes out of his rolling average soon. He could get to 400K by his bye.
You're making me think.
Williams had a 33 against the Giants when he did his Achilles.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, this week he scores, let's say, 70-odd, and then his break-even resets.
Yeah, so he goes down 4K, but the break-even resets, and then his cash gen starts up again. And all it takes is one spike score of 100, and the break-even shoots way down. Look at Darcy Wilson, who's just scored 88.
Mm, yeah, resets it all.
And it completely resets it, and then you can look at another 50K. It just takes one score.
We got Peter. He said, I'm sure you're going to address it, but what are you both your thoughts on trading out Marshall to another primo and moving Sweet from R2 to R3? I think he means from R3 to R2.
No, I think he might mean Marshall to a primo in another line.
Yeah, but Sweet would then go from R3 to R2. He went early on Sweet, by the way. So I'm thinking he's thinking of trading out Marshall to a Primo on another line and moving Sweet from R3 to R2. I think he's got it the wrong way around.
So I think... Yeah, I think with the injury cloud over Marshall, I don't hate that. And you can always bring Marshall back in if he comes good again, but then you can just use that to look at Gorn or English. Just quickly on English, I think it's fucking hilarious that he had one bad game against Essendon, who are very restrictive to every single ruck they play, and every other score has been 114 or more, and he's by far the R2, and people traded him out.
Mm-hmm.
It is so funny.
See, I want to bring him in, but I've got to try and find a way to do it. And maybe Grundy down to Sweet is the way.
Yeah.
For the future.
Yeah, English is better than Grundy.
Yeah, by a fucking long way. I just want to quickly check on some players that could. Yeah, like, sorry. This is probably the cheapest he's ever going to be, I reckon, Paddo, at 591K, Tim English. We should have put him on the run sheet. For Marshall owners and shit.
Yeah, we won't talk about how much I paid for him.
Well, this is his run. 119, 138, 124, 117. Then gets the 58, then goes 114, 134. I feel like maybe I should be focusing on this motherfucker instead this week of Parrish.
Yeah.
I think I need to fix my second ruck. But then watch Grundy go out there and absolutely car fucking Briggs a new asshole.
Yeah, he'll be a captain option for sure.
You know it'll happen. Speaking of captain options, Paddo, we are not called the Supercoach co-captains for nothing because every week we give you guys VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. I'm going to have a fucking hectic night trying to edit this podcast down and getting it out because we're recording on a Wednesday. Thursday, we have the fucking, what's it called, Paddo?
The showdown.
The fucking showdown between Adelaide and Port Adelaide at Adelaide Oval. Haddo, VC options in this one?
Butters.
Just Butters, that's it?
Butters, yeah.
Any, no Adelaide, no Crom?
Nah.
I mean, no left fielders, no Dan Houston or anything like that?
I feel like Ben Keys goes to Houston and maybe limits him a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Oh, move on to Friday. This one's juicy as fuck. Burke, Carlton versus Collingwood at the MCG. Paddy Cripps having a fucking underrated as shit season, Paddo.
He is. And Collingwood don't really tag or anything. And they've confirmed that he who shall not be named and Tom Mitchell are both out of this game.
Ooh. See, it's Carlton are being kissed on the dick here.
Really. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Even though they lost to Geelong, they...
Well, they played them without Tom Stewart.
Yeah, and then the week before, no Sam Taylor. And now this week, he who shall not be named and Tom Mitchell out of that midfield. Just saying. Kissed on the dick.
Yeah.
I want to know what Sam Walsh's history is against Collingwood. Is it hectic? Sorry, it's taking forever to bring up the Supercoach, the new Supercoach app, by the way. I'm like 50-50 on it. I don't know whether I like it or not yet. Paddo?
It just looks
92, 123, 105 are his last three against Collingwood, all at the MCG. So not overly great.
Worth adding to that, though, that Adam Chair is listed as a test, which does bad things to Sam Walsh's role.
I think he'll be fine. I want to check Paddy Cripps, though, against Collingwood. So he's about the same, much of a muchness. 187, 114. Yeah. What's Dacos?
Dacos doesn't have a great record against Carlton.
No, his projected's not that great, yeah.
And he probably has what's his face for company.
Yeah, fuck, he really doesn't like it.
Yeah, probably has Hewitt for company.
So not really.
My VC will be in this next game.
Yeah, we'll move on to Saturday. So that's Sydney versus the Giants. I'm fucking driving to this game, Paddo.
Nice.
Fucking going from where I am with the... anonymity there. Traveling about 8-9 hours if I don't stop.
In Victoria, for those playing at home.
Yep. Somewhere along the Murray. going up for this. So I'm pumped.
Should be a great game.
Yeah. And I can see, before I fall out of the seat. Josh Kelly's having a fucking good little patch here. If Cornelio is back, Kelly, honestly, the way he switches forward and kicks the snags at the moment, don't mind if you're a Josh Kelly owner for a cheeky VC. Harold Goulden, though, I feel is going to be one of the guys that goes absolutely crazy in this one. And I don't know if Isaac Heaney is. Like, I feel like Isaac Heaney is going to get like a respectable 110. But I feel like Goulden might be the guy that gets off the chain. Thoughts, Paddo?
What about Brody Grundy?
Well, that's the thing. I said earlier, Grundy against Briggs, it wouldn't surprise me if he goes absolutely eight, because whenever people trade out a primo, Paddo, that primo comes good.
Yep, usually.
Well, that's what happened last time. People traded out Grundy, and then the next week he got that massive as score.
Yep.
And people actually traded him to Marshall.
Yeah.
At Grundy's buy. So, fuck. Anyway, yeah, I don't mind the Grundy VC. Anyone else?
No, I just want to sit and watch this, enjoy this game without worrying about a VC. But I probably will VC Heaney, in honesty.
Yeah. We'll move on to the next one. St Kilda versus North Melbourne. This is going to be interesting if there's no Marshall and Steele. Very interesting.
I agree. I wish I knew what role Sheasel was going to play, because I think I really like him.
I feel like this is LDU time. I think he's back, and I think he might get a 130 plus in this.
Yeah,
especially maybe. If Steele's out. Especially if Roma and Steele are out.
Maybe, but there's also a chance that Windhager goes to him.
If Marshall is out, who rucks? And then why would you put Cherry as your VC?
On Campbell.
Oh, fuck. If Marshall's out, Cherry VC.
I wouldn't go that far.
Why not?
Because there's other really, really good options this round.
Yeah, but isn't
too risky. Cherry... Too risky.
Yeah, that's, you can do that with the VC. Like, honestly, look at Cherry's fucking run at the moment.
With the VC, you want to try and take a swing at someone that can go 150.
He's gone 144 literally in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll see.
Just saying. Okay, next one. Melbourne versus Geelong at the MCG. Pat is going to say Clayton Oliver.
No, Gorn's the obvious one. As much as it pained me, although his last two against Geelong have actually been 92 and 98, so doesn't have the best record against them. I VC'd Clayton Oliver last round as well. I really thought he'd destroy Richmond.
Oh, shit. Tom Stewart actually likes Melbourne. He also gets injured against them too.
Well, isn't that the team he scored negative against last year?
No, he scored 111 against them last year. In 2020, though, he scored an 18 against them because I think he got, like, concussed or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't offer the concussion.
Yeah.
See, I think Gorn's the only option in this game.
Not a Petrarca, though.
No, because what's his name will go to him.
Here we go. Here's some West Coast Eagles versus Essendon at Optus Stadium. This is going to be interesting. Wings do not like Optus Stadium, or do not like scoring at Optus Stadium, because they usually play the one side.
Yeah. So Zach Merritt had 143 last time against the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
But 110 last year at Optus Stadium.
Elliot Yeo.
So I think Durham might go to him. That's how good he's playing. Although Durham might also go to Harley Reid.
And then I don't know if we're talking VCs or Cs right now. Because if we look at the next three games, I mean, there's a couple of... Not really, actually. There's not really a couple of...
Nah, all the C options are on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I do like... Even like a Nick Martin or a Darcy Parrish.
Yep, don't hate it.
Will Jake Waterman get another 170? You never know.
You never know.
Move on. Sunday's games, Richmond versus Fremantle. You got to go with fucking Frio players here.
Yeah, so Wrong or Ryan, I think, are both fantastic options.
Can I just say, what's going on with Andy Brayshaw? Because he's actually still scoring good.
Well, he's playing more inside mid.
I thought he was on the outside.
Yeah, no, but he's gone back on the inside.
So he's had two sub-100 scores. One was a 97, and the other one was an 83, and that was the 83 was against West Coast. Where they got absolutely decimated. So he's actually at 567K. Yeah.
Luke Jackson could have a field day.
Yep. Don't mind.
Daniel Turner can kick three goals and get 101 against them up forward. Just imagine what Luke Jackson could do.
Yeah, that's true.
No Bolter, no Gibkiss.
I wonder if anyone's going to actually trade in Sean Darcy.
Jake Waterman scored fucking 170-odd against us.
Yeah, that's true. All right, as I lean back up, fuck. Yeah.
Sarong and Ryan are the two in this game.
Yeah, agreed.
Or Brayshaw, if you have him.
Yeah. Western Bulldogs versus Hawthorn.
Bont?
I feel like Bont's the safe option. Each and every week, just Bont.
Don't hate English as an option either.
English, I like. 110%. Yeah, Bont's scoring record, by the way, is 115, 122, 136.
Yep.
Only the one sub 100 score at the moment. Fucking will be the most captain player the following week. When you see who it is.
Hey?
Huh?
I missed that.
He will be the most captain player the following week once you see who he's playing.
Oh, Richmond Dogs, yeah.
Yeah. And his record against Richmond, even when they were good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, English or Bont. I don't like anyone from West Coast. Not West Coast, fuck. Hawthorn, but Hawthorn are playing like West Coast, and West Coast are playing a bit better. Just double checking something. Oh, if I could spell their name fucking right. Here we go. How's Sicily going?
Not great.
He's starting to come back good again. So he's building 95, 92, 100, 105.
Saints next week.
Yeah, he's got a big 172 against the Saints. Yeah, I just wanted to check Sicily because he's actually 533K, Paddo. Another one.
Yeah, soon.
Yeah, crazy. Nah, we'll move on then. Brisbane versus Suns to finish it out. I think the Suns are 0-3 away from home. So I'm tipping.
That's changing this week.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Don't like the Chucky Neal?
No.
No.
I don't know if I like anyone in this game, except for maybe Jared Witts.
Yeah, he's having an underrated season too, isn't he?
Yeah, but you're not going to chuck the C on him.
Can I just say, Lachie Neal's had one sub 100 score, and that was against the Giants. So he's another one that's dropping. He's 590K at the moment because of that one sub 100.
Yep.
Josh Dunkley's having a pretty underrated year.
Yeah, just another spike scores that he's used to have because they're not winning games.
Yeah, so he got 120 last week. And he really loves the Suns. 133, 153, 116, his last three. So I don't mind Josh Dunkley.
Head-to-head against Raoul, though.
I mean, anyway, just a suggestion. Yeah, okay. How's your captaincy picks going at the moment, Paddo?
Just quickly. My which?
Your captaincy picks, your VCs and Cs.
Well, I had Bontempelli's 102 on the weekend, which obviously was not great because I had to VC Oliver. But before that, I hadn't sort of dropped anything lower than 120, which I was pretty happy with.
Yeah. Paddo, what's your Twitter handle?
At PAWTOSCCC.
And mine is at DANEOSCCC. So from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Paddo.
And this is us signing.
The fuck off.
I'm fucking getting tongue-tied. Fuck cancer.